You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs program for Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host, and today our guest is Gail Swartz, president of Habitat for Humanity, Roaring Fork Valley. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. Pleasure to be here.
You know, you were elected to the Colorado State Senate in 2006 and served until 2015. And I will add that you served the Western Slope well. You were in the State Senate when you were there, and you were passionate about a number of things. If I recall, education, environment, including water issues and housing. Am I correct?
Those were some of the key focus that I had, mainly our rural communities and what we needed in terms of economic development and protection of our natural resources. So being a rural legislator is a very unique role at the Colorado State Senate and in the legislature when you have 80% of the representation from the Front Range. And then you're looking at all the rural communities, it's like a donut, surrounding the Front Range, and these are issues that we had in common. It didn't matter what party you represented and what communities you represented, but we had a lot of these issues in common, be it broadband and it really is a whole host of issues that bring rural legislators together to represent opportunity for our constituents.
Do you miss that sometimes?
You know, it's a pretty remarkable place to be developing bodies of policy. That when we were just unfolding our whole green economy, all of those opportunities were that was all part of the work I was doing, looking at water issues, as you mentioned, and how we can look at climate change and drought. How do we adapt policy to some of the issues that we're facing?
Well, you did a good job, so thanks for serving
in the
Senate.
Thank you.
What were you up to between your Senate service and before joining Habitat for Humanity, Roaring Fork Valley, in 2020?
Well, a couple years there, I did take advantage of some consulting work, especially around renewable energy opportunities, geothermal, and just a lot of renewable energy being brought online and looking at how we can develop the resources in our rural areas that will, again, help with that transformation. I also did run for Congress in 2016, and sometimes someone said to me, I think I won by losing, because that did open up other opportunities for me.
What caused you to become involved with Habitat for Humanity's their mission and goals?
Well, thank you for asking. I showed up in this valley just over 50 years ago, and I was working with an entity called Snow Engineering. I was a partner, and we were designing resort community all over North America. And part of that design work really made me understand how economies can be successful, but also the role of the workforce when it comes to especially resort economies. So then I went to APSHA as Director of Development for 4 years and then was the acting director as well. And during that time, was able to bring online 800 units in 4 years. So
wow.
I am passionate about housing and took that passion from designing communities into real implications to our communities, as well as going to the Senate and looking at how we can promote housing issues and what can help facilitate that implementation of those opportunities.
All right. It's the 25th anniversary, I understand, for Habitat for Humanity in the Roaring Fork Valley, and having been established in 1999. What do you have planned to celebrate this milestone?
Well, first I want to acknowledge those that came. You know, we all stand on the shoulders of someone, don't we?
Right, we do.
Those that came together and really had a vision for adapting the Habitat model for an affiliate here in the Roaring Fork Valley that goes from Aspen to Parachute. And that affiliate, again, is unique because of our workforce and our diversity of our communities and diversity of our economies. And I want to just acknowledge those that had that vision. So 25 years ago, And what we are doing is we're going to have a variety of events that we want the communities to participate with us. And also, how do we set forward the next 25 years and have a vision for that, those opportunities? What will our communities look like in 25 years? Did we know that a quarter of a century ago that we would be so constrained when it came to housing and so constrained when it came to the workforce critical to our economy? So we have updated this year our strategic plan, and that's going to help lay the groundwork for looking at the next 25 years.
Well, you had quite a few successes here in 2024, and they've been covered by the media frequently. Can you tell us about the top three recent accomplishments of Habitat for Humanity?
Well, it's always a good question when you look at the top three. We are very proud of the fact that, again, we started building one home at a time with volunteers. And how rich is that when communities come together? And Habitat's a hand up, not a handout. So you work alongside families that are building their homes. And we continue that work, but we're doing it by building neighborhoods now. So again, our wonderful project at Basalt Vista that was in partnership with the town of Basalt, Pitkin County, the school district, where you have 27 homes that are serving members of the school district as well as essential workers in Pitkin County. So building on that success and bringing forward the template that creates net zero homes. And we are bringing that work to Wapiti Commons on a dedicated parcel given to us by Clay Crossan and Paul Adams in Rifle. So these are 20 homes in Rifle that will also be net zero. And when we say net zero, that means you bring in a combination of efficiency in your structure, you use heat pumps, and also you have on-site generation from solar. And our homeowners, in Basalt Vista in particular, are paying $14 a month for all their utilities but water.
Wow.
This is true affordability. When you have affordable mortgages and you have affordable utilities, that sets families up for success. And so Wapiti Commons, our 20 homes, will be finished this year, and then we'll be starting six homes in Glenwood Springs on a donated parcel from the city of Glenwood Springs. So those will be six small condominiums. And then I think our big news is this modular production plant that we have been working on for 2 years. How can we continue to build affordably? Everyone knows the cost of building in this valley.
Right.
And it's extraordinary. How can we be selling homes at $200 a square foot when it costs us $300+ a square foot to build them? That gap needs to be filled time and time again with donations and grants. It's quite a bit of work. So our goal with the modular production facility is to reduce our costs and have offsite construction. That is the future of construction for our nation as it's being implemented very much so in European nations and Scandinavian countries. That's where true efficiency is. Very proud to say that this will be a highly efficient production facility of about 60,000 square feet in Rifle, producing net zero ready homes. We intend to produce up to 200 units per year, but also we plan to have it be a workforce education facility. We hope to be training up to 100 students a year and training them in the trades and certifying the trades. What do we need most besides childcare? We do need housing, and we need trained, skilled workforce.
Right.
So this is our vision. It's a transformational vision, and we're bringing together partners, and so we're pretty excited about the work we're doing there.
Well, that's an exciting project in itself. And when do you think it will be getting off the ground?
Our plan is to break ground this fall.
All right.
Providing we pull together the funding that we need, and we're grateful for those that have come alongside us to help with the funds for doing the planning and the design, and we look forward to that, those partnerships continuing to help support this truly transformational, systemic opportunity to build homes for the next 50 years.
For sure. That's a good solution, definitely. You're listening to KDNK's For Land's Sake program. Today our guest is Gail Swartz. You know, I hate to bring it up, but in the early 90s, affordable housing, workforce housing issues had sort of force became acute in our rural resort mountain communities. And here we are in 2024 talking about these same issues. But it feels very different now. Can you talk about why? What's the difference in this very same issue over these three decades?
Well, I think there were more options available to communities. And when you say options, we had developable land. We are at a point that everything is so constrained. And when it's starting with developable land, and we're sort of left with the dregs and more difficult parcels to develop, and the cost of development is just extraordinary. So really we're needing to really evaluate how we can address this together, because it's taking bolder measures. Let's look at governmental policy. We can no longer afford to have 10, 20, maybe 30% of our development be affordable and the rest be free market. How about flipping that equation? Because how about starting to build housing for the people that work here? We have a lot of free market housing. We have a lot of activity going on in that free market sector. How can we set up some public-private partnerships that we're looking very seriously at working alongside of our private sector partners and coming in as Habitat to develop the project that's affordable? Maybe 50% of a project being committed to being affordable. And then also asking where the resources come from. A lot of people think affordable housing is the government's problem. It's everyone's problem.
Right, it is.
It is everyone's problem. The philanthropic community needs to recognize the things they value, the arts and so on and so forth. That is the whole foundation to that is having housing for the workforce in our nonprofit sector.
For sure. This show's about land issues, and I don't think there's any more personal thing with people in the sense of place that we have when we move to a new area and become a part of that area and feel a part of it. And without being able to have a home and try to live here and two people working and all the expenses of living in this valley, it's really important to think more about making sure that all the people who live here have a place to actually live that's their own.
You know, Bill, I would just mention that we're asking a lot of the people that serve us in our communities, either in our schools, in our healthcare. And when you have families commuting, individuals up to 5 hours a day for their jobs, because in part, Western Garfield County has been the bed base for a lot of our works because of that transition from an oil and gas economy. So where are the jobs? They're in the resort communities.
Right.
And what are we asking of those individuals that are leaving children behind every morning, driving the conditions, the traffic? What we're committed to is finding a way for people to live and work in the same community. And that's what you're saying.
Right.
How do they feel part of a community? It's by living where they work and having their children go to school and being able to attend their conferences and be part of that community and be constructive members. You can't do that when your life is being robbed of that personal time and you're on the road just to go to a job.
You're correct. That's, and I don't think that's sort of, I feel like that's sort of the gorilla under the table, isn't it? We don't think about that. And incorporating people into our communities is really important.
It is. And I call it a social justice issue that we're asking a lot. Again, it's of the people that come into our communities. And quite frankly, if you have a job in the Roaring Fork Valley, you can't afford to live in the Roaring Fork Valley. It is, we need to identify and create an insulated stock of housing that is insulated from the market forces. And that's what the affordable housing deed restricted housing is.
Right.
When we build our homes, they're deed restricted in perpetuity. And we agree to the new homeowners, your appreciation rate will be at 3% a year. And that is the opportunity to maintain affordability long term, but build wealth for that
right.
family and not have them subjected to the volatility of the rental market and the utility costs. And so this is what we're passionate about, what we work on every single day.
For sure. And I appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
How can we have our communities all the way from Aspen to Parachute, how can we have them support Habitat for Humanity? Individuals, county and municipal governments, businesses, other nonprofits, everyone? I mean, how do we expect or ask people to help
well,
you?
Well, as I said, this is everyone's problem. And if we want our economies to continue to thrive, we want to have a viable healthcare system, education system, we need to come together and look at what are the tools at our disposal that can change the equation here and give people the opportunity to stay in their communities. And, you know, certainly volunteering with Habitat. You can go to our website, habitatroaringfork.org. Go there. There's a whole host of opportunities to engage with us. For example, land contribution. We did have a wonderful donation of a land parcel and rifle. We got to work and built 20 homes. Wow. We have been designated an enterprise zone, our projects have. That means we can offer special tax credits and deductions to donors of either funding or of land and services to us, which is really important. And also reaching out to our public and private partnerships and really developing ways that we can come together and build it. But volunteers are super important, and donations are critical. We can't make up that gap. But I will say that having a vision how communities can start to source those modular homes right down the valley in Rifle, where you have jobs and you're creating homes and you're bringing those, you know, volumetric modulars into the Roaring Fork Valley and letting people stay home in their communities and build homes as opposed to driving every day to frame and build and so forth. So having people appreciate this is a systemic solution and support our transformational opportunity with creating a modular facility. This isn't being done by many other habitats.
It's not. It really isn't, is it? Yeah. Do you still need funds to help that happen?
Oh, absolutely. We can certainly finance, you know, about two-thirds of what we do.
Okay.
But we need that other third, be it to subsidize the homes, subsidize those purchases, subsidize our efforts when it comes to the modular. And that can be done through donations. And recognizing that, as I say, if you so enjoy your quality of life here, all of it, the foundation is affordable housing.
Exactly.
And that quality of life cannot exist. It's not sustainable without our taking some really, really aggressive measures, bold measures, like a modular production facility, building neighborhoods. And also, we have a bold concept right now of an apartment building in Glenwood Springs. Habitat is in the process with partners of purchasing. It's a new building of 88 units and converting those to condominiums. That way you can create 88 small homeowners, their studios and one bedrooms, and they'll pay less as homeowners than they will in rent currently. And when you look at the rents going up 6% a year, 10% a year, 4% a year, year after year, that only undermines the stability of our workforce. Hmm. Our goal is to stabilize our workforce. So this is a bold concept for our little affiliate to take on alongside of partners like the City of Glenwood Springs and the Roaring Fork School District and other large employers. This is our mechanism to support their services and their businesses, but also long-term support the stability of our communities.
Right, for sure. You know, you have the Restore store that Kate and I like to go in there every once in a while when we need something and look around. Does that help quite a bit for the cause?
Know, it helps. It really supports our mission. Again, anybody in retail knows when you have 30 employees and we have this generously donated inventory, but we run trucks and we handle the merchandise, but repurposing is really critical to our green mission, that we recognize what's the alternative. Are you going to take it to the dump when you can see that other families can repurpose these beautiful items? We're so grateful for that. But it is a successful operation, but it doesn't underwrite our home building to the degree that we would hope.
Well, and I know some people complain about the cost, and if they're not thinking about that's contributing to Habitat for Humanity and the Roaring Fork Valley. So
Thank you
folks out there, give that a little bit more support.
Thank you.
I understand that this evening there's a restaurant takeover planned at the Riviera in Glenwood. You have Bay Equity, I believe it is, mortgage bankers as waiters, and diners tips will benefit Habitat. Can you tell us more?
Well, this is an exciting opportunity for us. We're really going to have fun tonight. I would invite the public to join us, and the patio is going to be open for seating, but come with the mind that the tips will come to Habitat. But, you know, be a little more, contribute to the community by supporting us and supporting Habitat and Habitat's mission. You know, I'm going to bring, as our other businesses, going to bring some pretty good sized checks tonight, because a restaurant takeover is fun for the community, brings in support, but also helps fund our work. So invite the community. Please come join us. We have a seating at 5:30 and a seating at 7:30. And just think about how you, too, can be engaged with Habitat this evening.
It's really a nice thing that Bay Equity does for nonprofits. And as the ED for the Glenwood Springs Historical Society, we're anxious that someday we'll be able to also do that. That's, mm-hmm. It is a lot of fun, isn't it?
Well, we want to thank the Riviera for being willing to let us come in now. Please don't write any comments on on the website or anything about how bad the service was. We're just going to try to do our best tonight.
Well, sure. Yeah, they shouldn't complain if they know what the cause
Absolutely.
Is for. You know, you've had a very interesting career, and you're sort of at the height of what you're doing now, I feel. And so I'd like to ask the question, what's on the horizon for you?
Well, I have some grandchildren I need to be spending some time with. And, you know, I think that having been engaged in community issues and planning and housing and legislation and education, and really felt these are important issues. And I would like to mentor some others to come in and really, really assume these roles and bring in that new, fresh energy, fresh perspective. So this is a time where I'm looking at some opportunities and changes, but want to stay engaged, certainly, and make sure Habitat is going to be successful in these huge ventures that we're taking on.
They are very large, aren't they, that are on the horizon. Now, for the modulars that you would like to bring into the Roaring Fork Valley, do you have places where that can happen at this point?
Well, we certainly are in conversation with developers. Again, these can only be deed-restricted. For deed-restricted housing, we're in conversation with communities and their next projects. We're in conversation with the Roaring Fork School District. And so I have a list of a lot of interest, like thousands of units. It would outstrip our production. We're also in conversation with Mesa County and other habitats. And so this is not just for the Roaring Fork Valley. This is really for the Colorado River Valley and other adjoining counties that everyone needs. We're in a really critical time. If we don't address this, again, our communities are so vulnerable. So we want to support the Western Slope with this and be a model
right.
for housing production. You could take the same configuration, the same plant, you could put it in Craig. And you could be building housing for Steamboat. You could move it to La Junta. You could move it across rural America. This is, when you're talking about 100 to 200 homes a year, this is not large-scale production, but you're creating jobs and you're creating trades.
Right.
And this is why the template is so important, that we lead the way. Boulder has, a small production coming online as well. The city is building that plant and supporting that production for Habitat. So I think that it's our time as Western Colorado to do something similar.
And that's what really was missing back in the 1990s, wasn't it? Was a bold enough plan into the future that would really help sustain what we need, which is more housing that's really affordable.
And the modular offsite construction can produce high quality homes at a faster rate and also produce homes that we're very proud of, beautiful homes like in Basalt Vista or Wapiti Commons, high quality, energy efficient homes. So we're not talking about compromising any of our quality or opportunity. But as you said, had we started out with this concept and we're building homes and jobs in Western Colorado, it could have helped us get to this very critical point.
In the last few minutes we have, what are the threats to what you're trying to do in the Valley? Or what are the things standing in your way that roadblocks, I guess, would be the question?
I would say generally we have community support, but I would say funding. We need the community help and support. We need to have people willing to invest in this long-term solution. Like you said, had we started this, 30 years ago, look where we'd be. Well, then let's start today looking where we can be in 30 years, and just as I'm saying. So helping with concepts, volunteering with us, work alongside us, these are all ways that people can support our efforts.
I don't know of any other Habitat for Humanity group that's doing as much as you are. How do you keep your energy level up like you do?
Well, I have to say, bringing 50 years of this work and expertise and collaboration, that we have to build at scale. We have to do something large. Building one home at a time is never going to address this problem. So I guess it is being a victim of my own
vision
that we can do this, and trying to inspire others to come alongside us, because we're not going to solve it with the current structure. We have to look at other bolder, innovative solutions. So I guess it's a community challenge to come alongside us, and let's address this together.
Well, exactly. I hope folks listening will accept that challenge and do more to contribute to Habitat for Humanity, Roaring Fork Valley. Well, Gail, I've really enjoyed having you today. It's been fun. The time's about over here, and I'm looking forward to Kate's going to be going to that affair tonight. I'm looking forward to how she reports back on how much fun she had. But thank you for what you do. I'm really appreciative of the fact that you came in to talk with us, and good luck to all your endeavors at this point.
Well, thank you. And thank you, KDNK, for all you do for the community and being the glue right here in the Mid-Valley, and with all the volunteer folks that are here keeping us on the radio. Appreciate
thank you.
That.
Thank you very much, Gail. You've been listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. Join us again August 12th at 4:30 and every second Monday of the month at 4:30. Until then, whatever you do, to Mother Nature, do it for land's sake.